Hey, hi everybody, this is Armand DeMille back with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, trying to serve you. Serve you. Such a nice word. In your service. You know, can I be of service to you? But you know, it's not always had a positive mind. What about, last week we did a show about dominance. We did a program about what it is to be a dominant, to be strong, to be the kind of person who controls other people. Today I want to do a program about submissiveness, to be at the other end of the spectrum. Submissiveness, and what's it like, and what do you learn? And is submissiveness just come from pain, or is it a form of power? So I have in the studio with me Lauren Sykes, who has helped me with this, and Linda Vanella. Here's just a small fact for you. As we age, women see submissiveness as a possible attribute. As you get older, you learn that you could lay back further and it's okay. You still have your power. Men, however, become very negative towards submissiveness. They won't allow themselves to lay back. They just need to be stronger and stronger. Quite a difference between the two. Must have something to do with our breathing. So people who are submissive navigate through the social environment using certain techniques. They flatter. They plan. They help. They beg. And they follow. Let's look at this through history and through the animals. I find most fascinating some of the stuff about nesting hawks. Linda, you have that information, don't you, as well?
Yes, I do, Armand. We found that the studies show that nesting hawks, when they're able to they're not experienced, and so therefore the babies are begging for food.
And when the mother is not experienced.
When the mother is not an experienced mother. And therefore, she's not really feeding the babies equally. The begging baby will become the more aggressive of the group.
So therefore, submissiveness in the form of crying and yelling and being little and screaming pays off if you have a new mother.
Yes.
Right? It means somebody not experienced. However, if that bird has had quite a few broods, it becomes different. And the way you could really see this is, since your mother probably didn't have a lot of broods, your grandmother. You know, your grandmother knows how to treat. If you beg and you scream, you don't necessarily get more than your brother who's being okay or your sister who's being okay. So experience teaches you not necessarily to respond to that characteristic. So it brings us to learned helplessness. Right? And this is Armand DeMille with you with A Positive Mind. We're talking about submissiveness today. Not just sexual submissiveness, not life submissiveness, but the whole idea of not the opposite of taking control. Letting somebody else row the boat. And a big number of people do just that. Some people love it, you know? One of the worst things you can say about people is they're all sheep. I don't know, sheep is okay. However you think that about sheep, try to think that about cows. How would you like to be a cow? You know that there's a dominant cow. There's an alpha one cow who is the first one who always gets into the thing. You know, when they go away at night to get milked or whatever they get in that room. The alpha female is the one who's going to be in there first. So they compete with each other, those cows. You may not notice it. They could be criticized. You notice her spots today. Yeah, she's getting droopy spots. They probably talk to each other. So they're probably dominant cows and submissive cows. But people perceive cows as submissive animals. So let's talk about learned helplessness. Linda, can you help me with it? What is learned helplessness?
Sure. That's a concept given to people when, after a number of experiences in their life where they didn't feel any sense of control over their environment, they learned basically not to respond. So therefore, it would be this helplessness, this feeling of, well, there's no sense in trying to change my environment because I've learned in my past that there's no option for me but to basically just go along with things and be helpless.
Yeah, that happens with a lot of illness.
Yes.
You know, you have a lot of illness, you can't beat yourself. This happens with weight, this happens with smoking, it happens with addictions. You just say, it's bigger than me, I can't win. Now, that's called learned helplessness. Being able to change things is what makes the difference. Now, some people consider that learned helplessness has to do with outside facts. There was an experiment done with people who performed mental tasks in the presence of distracting noises. People who could use a switch to turn off the noise and whenever they wanted to, had improved performance, even though they rarely bothered to turn off the noise. Simply being aware of the option to control your environment was enough to improve performance. Think about that with us. Just knowing we have the choice. If somebody says to you, if you take this pill, you're going to feel better, you don't have to take the pill to feel better because you know you have choice. You know there's a pill out there somewhere that could make you feel better. And that in itself. The difference, they found that one of the things about submissive people is that you could either be an optimistic submissive person or a pessimistic submissive person. Pessimism tends to lead to the learned behavior. Because with pessimism, you're saying the following: it will never change, it's my fault, I can't do anything about it, I can't do anything correctly. With that in mind, you wind up with being a server who doesn't, or somebody who is submissive, who can't do anything about it, even if they don't like it, even though you may, of course, choose to be submissive. Helpless experiences can associate with passivity, uncontrollability, and even poor cognition in people. Some people, it really affects their minds. Learned helplessness can contribute to poor health when people neglect their diets, they neglect exercise, they neglect medical treatment. Just they falsely believe they have no power to change. Think about that in relationships. There are people in relationships who have no belief that they could change. Now, there are two kinds of serving people as we understand it. Lauren, I want to compare the two that we found. In one form, which we'll call the server, right, and the other form we'll call the peacemaker, these are both people who tend to be submissive, who are trying to take care of other people. Tell me the difference between the two.
Well, the server tends to seek out the needs and impulses of others and kind of denounce their own. So they just seek to help others. They know the need for positive attention, and they grant that to others.
So they walk into a room, and the person that they would spot would be the person who has a need.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Now, you say to subject their own, and I think that's a judgment, mm-hmm. because I'm not sure that's what they're doing. I think it's just, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. I serve. If you're a waiter with a glass, holding a glass of a bottle of champagne, and you walk into a room, let's see who's got an empty glass.
Yeah, I think it's possible to do both. You can definitely
serve yourself
as well as serve others.
By being a server, you very often serve yourself because you get goodies. In return, you get rewards, you get smiles, you get approval, mm-hmm. you get other things like that.
Exactly. And then the other personality type would kind of be the peacemaker. So it's not necessarily that they actively help others. It's kind of they know that in order to keep everything flowing, that they shouldn't assert themselves. So they, it kind of starts off as them being a low maintenance child, just in order to keep everything in their family running smoothly. So as a result, they kind of denounce their own personality and latch on to other energetic people.
And they tend to latch on to energetic people. So now we have somebody who is who looks around and says, okay, my job is to make sure everything stays in balance. And I'm going to use my energy for making sure that there's no trouble.
Exactly.
I'm a policeman. I'm a fireman. I'm going to do that. But because I do that and I spend all my time doing that, I get exhausted. And what I tend to do is I tend to be very attracted to somebody very energetic because they're going to be a source of energy. And not only will they be a source of energy, but they'll probably be a source of some fire that I have to keep putting out. So you see, very often somebody like this, who's a submissive in a form because they're putting out fires, they get related to people who are really wild, and the person who is wild is always setting a fire, and the other person's always putting out the fire. And this could work, believe it or not. It could work for years. Mm-hmm. It could work for, I know one couple celebrating their 50th year anniversary together in two different countries. No, I actually heard of a couple who did that. They just lived totally apart, right? But here they are, and they do just that. He gets hysterical, and she just takes care of him. She's salve for his imagined wounds. This is Armand DeMille with Lauren Sykes and Linda Vanilla with The Positive Mind. How about you, my friends? Submissive? Do you find being submissive to a fault? Submissive? Do you like giving in? Children with learned helplessness, that means children who are convinced that they can't beat the system, fail academic subjects, and are less intrinsically motivated than others. So if you're a parent who successfully represses the will of your child, who can successfully squash any independence that your child may have, you'll be shocked to learn that that kid's going to have trouble in school because they can't think, because you took thinking away. There'll be no thinking around here. I'd like to see that made into a poster. There'll be no thinking around here. It may be our government poster, you know, where we used to have Uncle Sam wants you. Come to the place of no thinking. By neglect, child abuse is often a manifestation of learned helplessness. When a parent believes they're incapable of stopping an infant's crying, then the parent becomes helpless. And the very act of their abusing a child is a result of their feeling of helplessness and powerlessness. Which, of course, if they were treated that way when they were little, that's what they pass on when they get older. You know the beautiful thing about the Positive Mind Radio program? None of you are going to do to your kids what your parents did to you. I mean, the mistakes that your parent made, you're not going to make those mistakes. If you did, you're catching them already. Except for the very few of you who have perfect parents. And those parents can't be improved on, of course. But for those of you who had parents who made mistakes, the beautiful thing about this program and your curiosity is that you're going to do better. For yours, and if it's not your kids directly, it'll be your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren, even your dogs and cats. That's what we do, because we, believe it or not, serve. Another example of learned helplessness is loneliness and shyness. Those extremely shy, passive, anxious, and depressed may learn helplessness to offer stable explanations for unpleasant social experiences. There's an experiment by Gottlieb and Beatty who found that people who cite helplessness in social settings may be viewed poorly by others, resulting in a situation that reinforces the problematic thinking. You know, so that so now that you have social problems, you get judged for your social problems, which makes you even more shy. There's another one of this submissiveness in aging. When elderly learn to be helpless and concluding they have no control over losing their friends and family members to death. Now this thing happens, you know. Sadie, she's no longer there. And you get this kind of feeling inside. You lose your job, you lose your income, you lose some of your physical capabilities. It's very hard to maintain a positive attitude when you have this kind of forced into submission that the society does to you. But then again, there are the people with the long alleles and the people with the short alleles. There are some people who are still tyrants at the age of 80 and 90 years old, and they still keep it going. And there are the others who are, you know, given in completely and they want to be pushed around in a wheelchair. Armand DeMille here with you with the positive mind. Nonetheless, learned helplessness can be minimized by helping a person remember the power they have. Therefore, therapy is usually terrific around that issue, especially when it has to do with the elders. You know, you have somebody elder who's learning to do things. I like what you do. I like you teaching them yoga as well. It's really a wonderful thing. That's really an empowering thing, isn't it, Linda?
It is. It is, Armand. It works very, very well. When people come to me and they're feeling that they're kind of stiff and arthritis and the normal kind of aging situation, and I send them into posture or some position or just a meditative stance of yoga and explain to them all of the restorative properties that they are actually able to see it and feel it. It's almost like an aha, you know. They come to realize that they do still have within themselves great inspiration and their ability to do things that perhaps they hadn't thought of prior. So yes, it's very empowering.
The slightest amount of yoga is very empowering, but the presence of sharks is not. Those of you who know about the sharks in Long Island, I want you to know they were a few minutes away from the feet of Linda Vanella, who was deciding to go in the water at that very moment, and 9, 13-foot, 16-foot sharks come scooting on by. That's cute, right?
It was a wonderful experience.
Wonderful experience, sure.
It was just a moment of, you know, the reality that, you know, that we really don't have any control over things like that. And there really isn't too much in life that we really do. So it's a wonderful opportunity to see the beauty of the sea and the power of the sea. And, you know, just within a few moments of time, I didn't get to actually see the sharks. But having been in the water moments before they were sighted was something that gave me an opportunity to stop and think, wow, you know, it was interesting, very interesting.
God. See, they invented God, or God invented himself or herself, to remind you about submissiveness. Don't eat that apple. You eat that apple, you're not going to be submissive anymore. That apple is going to give you power. Oh, come on, Adam, eat the apple. Eat the apple, it's going to be okay. I mean, so what? What's he, jealous? There's better apples than over there. So the creation of the universe was based in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. And I don't know if it was meant to be that way, but humility is ingrained in the acceptance of religion. So people who accept religion and accept powerlessness, right, they kind of go together. Now, there are a lot of people who accept religion who are very big fighters. You know, they fight. They fight really well. They don't submit. But when you're somebody who believes deeply in religion and has a tragedy happen, has something happen in your life, you very often will turn around and say, you know, that's God's will. It's your way of saying, I have no power over that. But by saying it's God's will, it does give you some kind of strange power over it, in a funny way. It does attribute it elsewhere. Armand Mill with you with the Positive Mind. So religion is an interesting invention to help us deal with powerlessness. This is Armand Mill with you with the Positive Mind. Let's talk about the agonist, the agonistic relationship. You got that? The agonistic relationship, the agonistic relationship. In the social hierarchy, an agonistic relationship is a relationship where there is one very active dominant and one active submissive. Now, dominant accesses, hierarchies, are usually determine the best access to food, social interaction, or mating. One of those three things. When two animals fight, several different behavioral patterns can be observed. Aggressive acts and submissive acts are both part of a fight. Aggression and submission together are known as agonistic behaviors. An agonistic relationship is one in which an animal is dominant and the other is submissive in the simplest type of dominance hierarchy. In nature, most hierarchies involve more than two animals and are composed of paired dominant-submissive relationships. The simplest dominant hierarchies are linear, and they're known as pecking orders. You know the pecking order. Now get this one. The second-ranked individual, the top individual, is the alpha male, alpha female, the one on the top. The second one is the beta male, or the beta female. That's the second one. They are submissive to the alpha male. And then comes the gamma, which is the third. But then an interesting thing happens very often. Very often, the third, the gamma, has some way of being dominant over the alpha. Now, let me give you an example of this. It could be the alpha may be the mother of the family. The firstborn may be the daughter. She has no power. She's submissive. The thirdborn is a male. He's the boy. The boy has a way of wrangling mother to do things. So the boy, the gamma, actually takes control over the mother. Kind of an interesting thing. The simple dominance, so gamma, now this is very interesting in business too, because Linda, you had discovered something about what businesses do with older alphas. Now you consider older alphas as people or consider them as businesses, like IBM is an old alpha, you know, AT&T is an old alpha. How do we get rid of alphas if we don't have enough strength to get rid of them?
Well, the beta and the gamma, they join forces and say, if we join forces, then we can gain power over the alpha. So that's where we start beginning to see the banking, the industries, the corporations.
Mergers and acquisitions.
Exactly, merging and acquisitions, exactly. This is exactly what they're doing. They're taking the submissive, the subordinate, the dominance, and they're creating their own, they're changing it. So therefore the hierarchy begins to change.
So we're going to be taking your calls today as well, by the way, at 212-209-2900. We're going to talk about submissiveness as you know it, 212-209-2900. There is an appeal to submissiveness sexually. There is something about letting it happen, or there is something about the very act of struggle against an aggressive form that sometimes heightens the sexual experience. And for some people, that's it. You might experience that yourself. You may say, you know, being told. I know one woman who said to me recently that she's usually the dominant in bed whenever with any of her boyfriends, she said, but she needs whatever boyfriend she's found is the one that has to push her into the bed. He said, somebody's got to get me into that bed. When I get in that bed, I'm now the dominant. So she's submissive right up until that point, just getting over that point. But once she goes over, that's it. There's an expression in BDSM, in the bondage and discipline world, which is called topping from below. And topping from below means you control by being submissive. You control the dominant by being submissive specifically. Hey, 212-209-2900. You got something else there, Linda?
Yes, I think it's interesting to see, because dominant animals have advantages in activities such as feeding and mating, they will tend to have more offspring than subordinate animals. I thought that was rather intriguing. And if this is the case, then natural selection will favor genes for enhancing fighting ability. So therefore, we begin to see how that whole evolutionary process can begin to change things. So we have heightened aggressive behavior may be counter-selected by the necessity for amicable social interactions. So we begin to again see that how it shifts the dominance and the submissive, the subordinate among animals in the ranking.
Well, how does it shift? Does it seem like it's evolving to more dominance?
Well, it would evolve to more dominance. However, when they say that the baboon and the chimpanzee societies are characterized by cooperative alliances among individuals that are more important than individual fighting ability in maintaining rank. So therefore, we begin to see the shift between having more offspring, the aggression and the dominance and the subordinate changing when you're looking at various different animals and how they're beginning to evolve.
That's why the kibbutz is so successful,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why places where people share power and they share their strengths, that's why it works so well. That's why agrarian societies work so well. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Somewhere, somebody said to us, in order to get ahead in this world, you have to beat up the other people and you have to get rid of them. And that may be true. And so we have bigger skyscrapers. And we have more cars, and we have bigger houses, and we have all that stuff. But another look at it evolutionarily is saying we don't need the dominant-submissive separation. What we need is more cooperative. And when you're being cooperative, it's perfectly well. Like someone said to me before, you know, if you're submissive, you're automatically... you're automatically showing a weak side. And I said, no. What if you choose to say, I serve? I serve. I mean, if somebody asks me what I do for a living, I say, I serve. I serve. I mean, that's, I'm a bartender. I row your boat. You know what I mean? I'm a server. If that's submissive, of course it is, then that's what I be. Just as anybody who does anything of a calm and giving nature. This is Armand DeMille. We'll be back with you in a couple of minutes and take your calls at 212-209-2900. We'll be right back.
Oh. Face, just look at it. Look at that fabulous face of yours. I knew first look I took at it. This was the face that the world adores. Look at those eyes, as wise and as deep as the sea. Look at that nose, it shows what a nose should be. As for your smile, it's lyrical, friendly and warm as a summer's day. That face is just a miracle. Where could I ever find words to say the way that it makes me happy? Whatever the time or place, I'll find in no book what I find when I look at that face.
face. Do you ever look at a baby's face? You look at a baby's face and you look at that face. Sometimes you just see scriggled up things. But boy, in those faces. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Bringing you some ideas, some concepts. Let's talk about deference. Deference is not to be confused with differential. Deference is a condition of submitting to the power of one's superior or superiors. It implies a yielding of submitting to the judgment of a recognized superior out of the respect or reverence. So deference has been studied very strongly. Oops, just 1 second, my friends. There's a little engineering fact going on. I'll be right back with you. Herbie Mann's version of the same song. Look at that face. Hey, so we're talking about deference. You know, it's really important in politics to try to get deference. And our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. What has being submissive done to your life? Or the need to have somebody be submissive? What has that done to your life? How has that affected you? So I'm on the move with you. I'm with you Tuesdays and most Wednesdays here at BAI. The idea is to have you okay no matter where you are. I could fully understand. I mean, I see a dog and a cat that I know, and the cat is always submissive to the dog. You know, just submissive. The dog decides to rough up the cat. They're friends. The cat says, go ahead, rough me up.
Okay.
212-209-2900. Let's take a call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Armand?
Yes.
Hi, how are you? My radio's off.
Thank you.
I was calling. You were talking about, dominant and submissive.
Yes.
I actually am having trouble with that at work. At work, there's, a lot of office politics. And I go back and forth between maybe, trying to play the game and then not playing the game. And I find when I don't play the game, I wind up sort of on the bottom.
Now, how long have you been working here?
5 years.
5 years you've been at this place where you still don't know your position, right?
Yeah, well, the thing is, our policies change so much, and the leadership there, it's sort of, everyone's very easily manipulated, so things are very up in the air, it's up for grabs.
And, sounds like a normal workplace.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it doesn't seem normal to me.
It doesn't seem normal to you because there are people you're disappointed in. So what you're telling me is, yes, there are people there who have disappointed you. Can you think of one of two people at your office who have disappointed you?
Yeah, I can think of a lot.
You think of a lot of people who have disappointed you, right? What's the main thing that they did that disappointed you?
They manipulate to survive there, and I don't seem to fare well.
Yeah, they use one of our five tools, which is they either flatter, plot, help, beg, or follow, or sometimes they oppress, you know? What are the tools they're using to get ahead?
Pretty much all of those, and also talking behind your back if they become fearful.
And they talk behind your back, they talk about you.
Oh, they do it to everybody. There's a handful of people who do it to everyone. They sort of do that, like, bullying by proxy thing, where they go to the leadership. They tell the leadership a story about someone, and the leadership reacts and then punishes whoever that person is without investigating it.
Wow.
So it's like a ping pong match with, like, 10 different balls, like, jumping all over the place.
That's a terrible situation to be in. Now, let me ask you, this is a situation that most people by age, after 5 years, would have probably, they've done something about not staying there or changing it. But unless you come from a miserable childhood. If you come from a chaotic childhood, you learn how to stick in there with misery a lot better than other people. How was your childhood?
It was pretty bad.
Pretty chaotic, I hear. With no loyalty in the family.
No, I was, like, not believed a lot of the time.
So they would talk.
People could manipulate different people in my family, and as a result, I wasn't very good at saying what needed to be said in the right way to protect myself.
I hear. Just the way you have in your job now. It's like you're living through the same hell.
Yeah, I've been trying to learn from it, and it seems like I do well. Like, things change there very quickly, and it seems like I'm always going through a new phase, like a new step forward.
Mm-hmm.
And but I thought it was over after 5 years of this struggle and then coming through it and then that struggle and then coming through it. I thought this was the end, and I'm like, you know, going to learn something and the doors will open in for a new job, but it feels like the doors are closing on this job. There are no doors opening.
What's your name? Your first name?
Crystal.
Okay, Crystal, let me ask you something. Something over the last year changed in your family of origin. What happened?
If what?
What changed in your family of origin over the last year?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Nothing, like, dramatically changed. A sibling of mine sobered up and came home from jail.
Wow. And what was that like in the family?
They sort of took her back in like nothing had happened. Yeah, and she's sort of, like, the favorite, and it's really strange.
She's the favorite, and you're back on the outs?
Yeah.
And you're really mad at her because she really betrayed you in many ways?
I'm actually not mad at her because she can't seem to help herself. I'm mad that my family's so easily manipulated that she could just work her way back in.
So when this problem with your job reemerged, did it reemerge around a year ago, just about the same time? Because what I'm thinking is you must be very sensitive to this kind of dynamic. And when your sister came back, is it your sister who came back after being in jail? Was it your sister?
I can't remember when that happened, actually.
Yeah, but when that happened and everybody was kind of turned favoritism, it just sets off this sensitivity inside you. You know, and what you've got to do in your own mind, what would be helpful to you is to always keep in mind your family and to say, this is like my family, but it's not my family.
Yeah.
This is like my family, but it's not my family. This
yeah,
is like
actually,
my family.
That's a good point. This morning, I feel like I reacted to certain situations and I set things up so that this meeting this morning, it was the weirdest thing. Through a chain of events of my way of reacting with two different people, the way that this meeting with them panned out today was exactly as if I was sitting with my family.
Amazing. Amazing how you have the power to create that. Well, now that's a very good sign. Saying that you have the power to in some way recreate your family dynamic in a job setting means that you've got the very same power that everybody else has. You can move people around. Now, if you get a little more refined at that, eventually you'll be the boss. See?
Eventually what?
You'll be the boss.
Yeah.
Eventually you'll take charge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then
I get what you're saying.
Then you'll hire your family and fire them. Such a good thing
funny.
To be able to. Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to be able to fire your parent?
That would be nice.
You're fired. You know, you're fired. It's like, just look at your mother. Your mother's doing things. Hey, Mom, you're fired.
That's pretty funny.
Hey, listen, Crystal, if you need us for anything, give us a call.
Okay, thanks, Armand.
Sure.
Take care.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. Yeah, it's because family has such a great deal to do with it. The less experienced the parent is, the more they tend to make mistakes with the children and responding to the children's helplessness. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Sue, and I am the firstborn, and my brother is the secondborn, although we did not team up together. He wasn't very interested in me at all. But so there was nothing there. I just was kind of on my own. And I am what you just described. I never realized it exactly, you know, to the T, that I am passive, but I'm very angry. I'm very angry because it was so unjust and so cruel what they did to me. They destroyed my ability to feel that I had any choice. And to this day, I am going to be a big number coming up, and I'm frightened because my health has started to fail, and I think as a result of feeling all these bad feelings for so many years, and I was always so healthy, and am I still on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, good. And I'm very frightened, and I keep running to doctors trying to, you know, figure out for myself what's going on, and then asking, you know, for them to help me with it. But I have not found anybody who takes things seriously. And I just called actually for test results for a bone density test that I took, and the doctor's office never called me, and I asked that a copy of the result be sent to me, and then I was told I had to come in because the doctor looked at it and was concerned. You know, so, I mean, I know there are things, and I don't want them to get worse, but I do feel very powerless, and I don't know how to turn this around. And yesterday I tried to write again. This has been going on for 30 years, writing a letter that I never say, you know, that I'm furious, and this is why, and saying, you know, you're a so-and-so. You know, I'd really like to curse and just really be vile, so just to get it out of me because it's destroying me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it like, you know, like my mother is like a phantom limb that is not real, but anymore she's not, I'm not attached anymore to her. She's not, but yet the pain and I feel and the ambivalence, like, do I still protect her feelings, even though she out now told me, she said, your feelings are invalid, and I quote.
Yeah.
So how do I go up against somebody like that?
Well, the trouble is that she still has power with you. It's not how do you go up against her. I mean, sincerely, she's saying that out of her own helplessness. Well, a couple of things are going on that I think are very valuable here. The fact that you're standing there and saying to yourself, I'm coming up to a big number. So you're about to become 30 years old or something. Coming up to
60.
I know. You're maybe, you're coming up to a big number, and your body's breaking down. And now you believe that your body is breaking down because you have been powerless your whole life. Now listen, let me tell you something about powerless people. There are powerless people I know who stay healthy to the hundreds. They are completely powerless, and they go right through life. So that's not necessarily a cause of your illness. Powerlessness doesn't necessarily have to be the cause, because there are some people who are so easy and so mushy that they just take no toll from anything, and they kind of go by. But that's not going to be the cause of your illness. However, I don't even know if you have illness. But you're tired of it. You're tired of it. It sounds to me like somebody has turned over the, you know, the little dial clocks, the sands of time. Somebody's turned it over, and now it's flowing in the other direction. And you're saying, I don't want to be this way anymore. I want to take control. Now, as to your mom is too far gone for you to take control of that situation. The best you could do is the best you could do, but she's too far gone. Her mind won't change. So the only change we have is yours. Now, say the word damn.
Damn.
Say it louder.
Damn.
Say it even louder than that.
Damn.
How does that feel?
Eh.
Right, you got other words.
I wrote it in the letter. I did write that word in the letter.
You did write that word in the letter. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, so you need to find, and I don't recommend this often, but there's a thing called the intense feeling process of psychotherapy. If you look on my website, you'll see it described there. It's a place that says whatever you've been holding on in the inside, it's time to move it out. And I would strongly recommend you do that rather than doing anything silent, because I think you've got a voice that's yet to be heard. By the way, were you a singer once?
I am a singer.
That's what I thought.
You have such a good memory.
Yes.
Yeah, but I haven't been singing.
Nothing.
I haven't been living, you know, my life.
Hey, how did you like that song, Look at This Face? Look at that face.
Beautiful.
Will you sing that song?
Will I sing it?
Yeah, will you learn it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to make a promise in that.
No, you don't have to keep it, but it's from The Roar of the Grease Paint, right? And we need a good version of it. So I'd love you to make it and maybe send me a recording of it.
What's the title again?
Look at That Face.
Look at That Face. But in the meantime, I wrote it down, but in the meantime, I want to write the letter, but I want to write it with all the vitriol that I feel, and I feel that I will cleanse myself that way.
Yeah, probably. But if you cleanse yourself by dumping it on somebody else, that doesn't do a cleansing, unfortunately, because it gets reaction. I think writing that letter completely would be great. Send it to me. Send it to me. I think better yet, do it in the therapy process. You get even much more results from it.
And it's intensive feeling.
Yeah, it's intense feeling psychotherapy. It's described on the website, The Positive Mind.
Okay.
Certain situations, and yours be one of it.
Because why?
Because you're ready to jump. You're ready to move. You're ready for it. Because here you are, and you're ready to go. You have a voice that needs to be sung. You know, you have a howl that needs to be heard.
But even just by doing that, you think it's really going to get out of me?
Sure. Sure.
It's hard. I trust you. Actually, you're one of the few people that I do trust. And I trust that you know what you're talking about. It just seems too easy in a way. Or I don't know that it's easy, but...
It's not easy. It's very difficult.
I mean, just to talk to I don't know what's involved. That's
right. It's a whole process. It involves a lot of stuff, but it's good.
If I can find somebody.
Just look through the website, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And then I'll go to the Performing Arts Library and I'll look it up and
great.
See what I can do for you.
Thank you very much.
You're
the
welcome.
Simplest form of it, I would appreciate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
212-209-2900. Time for one more caller. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Listen, Armand DeMille?
That's me.
All right. Wow, you're so intuitive. It's incredible. I don't know how you manage to do that, but I think I do know how you do it.
Yeah, I'm sure you are too.
Thank you. I was listening earlier, and a woman was expressing something about her workplace and difficulty in the workplace. And I can relate with some of those things, the way people manipulate other people. And it just made me think that, why are people like that? Why do people have to be that way? Why can't people be respectful of people, loving to people, caring to people, and recognize that when they do that, they can get very far and be very productive?
Well, I'm going to answer your question because we're coming to an end of our program and I have to be going soon. What's your name?
Honest.
What is it?
Honest. Like the word truthful. Honest.
Got it. Thank you. You know, here's the answer to your question. The answer to your question is what we learned about the hierarchy of needs. See, when you're big and you beat up somebody little, then that little person wants to beat up somebody littler, and then they want to beat up somebody littler. It's almost as if it brings the balance. So what people are doing when they do this on a job is they're taking out the very hostility from their own childhood, and they're moving it out onto other people. That's why until they get rid of it, everything they do will be toxic. So I don't know. I don't know if it'll ever get over. I don't know. We learn how to sidestep it. We learn how to recognize it. We learn how to not.
I've been beat up pretty much, but I haven't gone. If the way I was treated.
Yeah,
in
but
life,
you're not going to hurt people. You're somebody who's out there to make people beautiful. Hey, listen, thank you for calling in.
No, thank you, Armand. Continue to do the blessed work that you're doing. I greatly appreciate your love, man.
Great.
You're a blessed individual. I mean, you live a very, very, very long life.
I'll be back with you all tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Thank you.